The Torah says in Parshas Nitzavim that Hamistaros Hashem Elokeinu, Hamiglos Lanu Vanino Adolam, Laasos, that's called the Rei Hashem Hazos. So what's the meaning of Hamiglos Lanu Vanino Adolam, that those things that are revealed are for us and our children forever? So Rashi explains, based on the Gemara in Sanhedrin, Daf Mem Gimel, that Hamiglos Lanu Vanino Adolam refers to the fact that the Jews are responsible for the actions of their fellows. That there's a principle of Kol Yisrael Arevim Zeh Lozeh, such that if Reuven would commit an avera, so the rabbim, the community, could be liable for the punishment the consequences of that avera. And Rashi explains that this principle of arvos, of the fact that Jews are guaranteed the actions of other Jews, went into effect at the time of Har Grizim and Har Evil, when Klal Yisrael took upon itself the shvuos of Har Grizim and Har Evil. And Rashi says that at that time, Naasu Arivim Zelozeh. At that time, Klal Yisrael became guarantors for one another. In addition, so the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, Daf Chaf Pesam and Aleph, uses this principle of Kol Yisrael Arivim Zelozeh in order to establish a halacha of Ava Pisha Yatza Motzi. The Gemara quotes Ava Bered Ram Zera, who says that even if one, let's say Reuven, has fulfilled a mitzvah, he can still be Motzi Shimon in that mitzvah. So for example, even if Reuven has already said Kiddush on Shabbos, so if Shimon needs to hear Kiddush, Reuven can recite Kiddush on Shimon's behalf, again, despite the fact that Reuven already was Yotze his chiyuv of Kiddush. And this is halacha that's recorded in the Rambam and Hilchos Brachos, Parak Aleph, Halacha Yud, various contexts in Shulchan Aruch, and is practiced quite frequently halacha l'maisa. So I wanted to delve into some various questions with respect to this principle of arvus, of afa pisha yatza motzi, which again is rooted in the idea that Kol Yisrael arivim zelazeh. So firstly, what exactly is the nature of this arvus, of this guarantee or security relationship that Klal Yisrael accepts upon itself? The fact that Klal Yisrael accepts upon itself to secure the actions of other members of Klal Yisrael. So what exactly is the nature of that contract, so to speak, of that arvus? In addition, so what's the mechanism of Afa Pisha Yatza Motzi? What allows Reuven to be Motzi Shimon in his Chiyuv? Because after all, we know that usually someone who's not a Bar Chiyuva, someone who's not obligated in a certain action, cannot be Motzi another person who is obligated in that action. For example, the Gemara in Brachos and Daf Chaf Amud Beis explains that Kol She'eino Mechuyuv B'davar Eino Motzi Es HaRabim Yedei Chovasa. Anyone who's not obligated in a certain action cannot be motzi others in that action. So if that's the case, then how do we explain the principle of afa pisha yatza motzi? After all, once Reuven, in our previous example of Kiddush on Shabbos, so once Reuven has already said Kiddush, so we should have said that he's no longer a bar chiyuv and Kiddush, and therefore he can't be motzi Shimon, who is a bar chiyuv and Kiddush. So how does the mechanism of yatza motzi really work? And in addition to that, so what exactly is the scope of Afal Pisha Yatza Motzi? To what people does it apply? To what type of brachos does it apply? Under what circumstances does Afal Pisha Yatza Motzi, again rooted in Kol Yisrael Arevim Zelazeh, under what circumstances does that apply? So let's begin our discussion with trying to tackle the nature of arvus. Again, this relationship, this guarantor relationship between Reuven and Shimon, between different members of Klal Yisrael. So Reb Chaim is quoted in the Grach al Hashas in the stencils. So Reb Chaim is quoted as explaining the nature of Kol Yisrael Arivim Zelozeh, of arvus, in light of the general concept of arvus in dini mamonos, in monetary law. Reb Chaim explains that there exists two types of guarantors. One guarantor is called a stam ariv, just a regular, a plain old guarantor, and another one is called an ariv kablan. So what's the difference between a stam ariv and an ariv kablan? So the stam ariv is someone from whom, so let's say, for example, we have a malva and a loga. So Reuven lends Shimon some money. And then Levi comes on and says that I'm going to guarantee this loan. So then under what circumstances can Reuven, the Malveh, the lender, under what circumstances can he collect his debt from Levi as opposed to Shimon? So if Levi is a Stam Ariv, then Reuven can collect his loan from Levi only if Shimon cannot pay the debt. meaning Shimon is the first line of response, the first line of attack. Reuven goes to Shimon first. If Shimon can't pay the debts, then he can go to Levi because Levi signed on to be a guarantor on this loan. But if Levi decided to be an Ariv Kavlon, not just the Stam Ariv, but an Ariv Kavlon, so then Reuven can go to Levi directly. He can skip over Shimon, and he can say, I'm not interested in collecting the loan from Shimon, I'm going to go straight to Levi. And once that's the if that's the case, so then Levi would have to pay the debt immediately, even if Shimon does have the funds to pay the debt that he incurred. So what really accounts for this difference between these two types of guarantors, between the Stam Ariv and the Ariv Kavlon? Again, that the Stam Ariv can be collected from only once the Lova is addressed, whereas the Ariv Kavlon can be collected from even before the Lova is addressed. So Reb Chaim explains that the nature of the contract, or the achrayus that each of these types of Arivim accepts upon themselves is very different. The Stam Ariv accepts upon himself a guarantee of payment to the lender. The Stam Ariv says to Reuven, the lender, that guess what? You know, you should feel a sense of security because I will guarantee that you get paid at the end of the day. I will guarantee that your debt is addressed. But the Ariv Kavlon accepts upon himself something even more. The Ariv Kavlon accepts upon himself the debt itself. He essentially becomes like a second borrower, such that even though in practice Reuven lent to Shimon, and under the law, based on the contracts that proceeded under that circumstance, so then Levi becomes like a second borrower. It's as if Reuven lent to Levi himself. So that being the case, so if one is a Stam Ariv and he only guarantees the payment, so then the lender is going to have to go to the borrower first. And if the borrower can't pay up, so then he goes to the Kavlon, to the Ariv, to the Stam Ariv, because the whole achrayus that the Stam Ariv accepted upon himself was the payment. But that's of course only under condition that the debtor himself can't pay. But in the second case of the Ariv Kavlon, the guarantor can go straight to the Ariv, because again, the Ariv Kavlon essentially accepts upon himself the debt itself. So once that's the case, then he's like a debtor, he's like a borrower. And if that, so and as a result, the Malva can go straight to the Ariv Kavlon and can skip over the Lova. So that's the Dine Mamonos background to the concept of Arvus. And Reb Chaim explains, based on this analysis, so we can then understand the analog of Arvus B'mitzvos. We can understand the principle of Kol Yisrael Arivim Zelozeh. And that's to ask the following question. So does Kol Yisrael Arivim Zelozeh, when we accept upon ourselves Arvus, a certain guarantee or security on behalf of other members of Klal Yisrael, does that mean that we accept upon ourselves only the consequences and the punishments that are associated with another person's mitzvos? Or that would be akin to the Stam Ariv, meaning you accept upon yourself the consequences, like the payment? Or does it mean that we actually accept upon ourselves the kiyum hamitzvos themselves? That if Reuven is chayiv to do mitzvah X, and we sign on as an Ariv, so then essentially what we're saying is that we're also chayiv to do mitzvah X. And that would be akin to the Ariv Kavlon, who accepts upon himself the debt itself, not only the what comes after the debt, not only the consequences of the debt, i.e. the payment, but rather the debt itself. And Reb Chaim makes an argument that the concept of Kol Yisrael Arivim Zelozeh, Arvus, with respect to mitzvos, must be similar to the Ariv Kavlon. How do we know that? Because when Reuven is Motzi Shimon in Kiddush, so what Reuven's going to do is he's going to recite a Vitzivanu. He's going to say Vitzivanu, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu commanded us to say Kiddush on Shabbos. So how could Reuven say Vitzivanu if he weren't actually Chayav in the mitzvah of Kiddush? So concludes Reb Chaim from that point that it must be that when we accept upon ourselves Arvus, we are considering ourselves Chayav in the mitzvah of our fellow, of our friend. And therefore, we can say the word Vitzivanu. And that's similar to the Ariv Kavlon, where you accept upon yourself the debt itself, you accept upon yourself the Chiyuv HaMitzvah. So based on this Reb Chaim, what comes out is that the nature of Arvus is not just that we accept upon ourselves the consequences of others' actions, but actually that we accept upon ourselves the chiyuvim of others. We accept upon ourselves the obligations to do certain mitzvos. And that's what allows us to do mitzvos on behalf of others. There might be a nafkamina between these two different ways of viewing the nature of arvos with respect to mitzvos. And that's with respect to the following question. Namely, does yatza motzi, does the principle that if Reuven has already fulfilled the mitzvah so he can be motzi Shimon, will that apply to a baki? Meaning to say, if Shimon knows how to say Kiddush on Shabbos, so can Reuven still say Kiddush for him, even though Reuven was already Yotze? Or would Shimon, under those circumstances, have to say Kiddush himself, because Shimon knows how to say Kiddush? So this was a machlokas between the poskim. The Shulchan Aruch seems to say that if Shimon is a baki, if Shimon knows how to say Kiddush, so then he can't rely on Yatza Motzi. Reuven can't be Motzi Shimon under those circumstances. Shimon will have to say Kiddush himself. But the Pri Chadosh disagrees, and the Pri Chadosh says that the Gemara says in Rosh Hashanah, Av Yatza Motzi, it doesn't make any limitations, it doesn't qualify that principle, and therefore, even if Shimon knows how to say Kiddush, nonetheless, Reuven will be allowed to say Kiddush on Shimon's behalf. So what's the Nekudas HaMachlokas here? What's really lying at the core of the dispute between the Shulchan Aruch and the Pri Chadosh? Whether the principle of Yatza Motzi applies even to a baki like Shimon, who knows how to say Kiddush. So perhaps this really relates to how we view the nature of Arvos. If Arvos is more of a fallback option, like the Stam Ariv, who's addressed only after the real Loveh is addressed, so then we might say that that fallback option applies only under circumstances where it's necessary. But in cases where it's not necessary, like a case of a Baki who knows how to say Kiddush himself, so then the whole idea of Arvos just never gets started to begin with. But if we view Arvos more as an Ariv Kamplon, more as saying that Reuven really accepts upon himself the chiyuvim of Shimon, so then if that's the case, so then why shouldn't that apply under all circumstances? After all, Reuven is chayiv in Kiddush just like Shimon, because Reuven accepted upon himself the chiyuv of Shimon, so therefore he should be able to make Kiddush on behalf of Shimon. So perhaps that question of whether a baki can take advantage of the principle of Yatza Motzi might relate to these two different ways of viewing Arvos that Reb Chaim explained based on the background of Arvos and Dinei Mamonos. So that concludes our discussion of the nature of Arvos. But now let's get to another very meaty discussion, and that is the mechanism of Arvos. Remember that we said at the beginning that there seems to be some problem here with Afal Pi Sheyatza Motzi, because after all, we say in general that that someone who's not a Bar Chiyuva cannot be Motzi someone who is a Bar Chiyuva. And if Reuven already said Kiddush, so then it would seem that he's no longer a Bar Chiyuva. So how can he be Motzi Shimon who is Chayev in Kiddush? So one approach to this question in explaining the mechanism and the efficacy of Arvos could be explained based on Reb Chaim's approach. Reb Chaim, after all, explains that really this assumption that Reuven is no longer Chayiv in Kiddush because he already said Kiddush himself, so that's not really true. Really, the case is that Reuven signs on as an Ariv Kavla for Shimon's mitzvos. And if that's the case, then as long as Shimon has not fulfilled his chiyuv, so then it's really like Reuven is chayiv himself. So if Shimon hasn't done the mitzvah of Kiddush, so then it's as if Reuven is chayiv in Kiddush himself as well. The Ran actually uses the language of k'mi shelo yatza humidani, that as long as Shimon has not fulfilled his mitzvah, then it's as if that Reuven has not fulfilled his mitzvah either. So as long as Shimon hasn't fulfilled Kiddush, it's as if Reuven still has an outstanding chiyuv of Kiddush. And therefore, it's not the case that Reuven is not a bar chiyuva. He is a bar chiyuva. You know why he's a bar chiyuva? Because Shimon is a bar chiyuva, and Reuven signs on as an ariv to Shimon's chiyuv. So since Reuven signs on as an ariv to Shimon's chiyuv, so therefore Reuven is a bar chiyuva himself. So once Reuven is a bar chiyuva himself, so then we go back to the status quo that one person can say a bracha on behalf of another person as long as both of those people are bar chiyuv. So that's one approach, that really the reason why the mechanism of Yatza Motzi is to say that really it's as if Reuven is Chayiv himself. So when Reuven recites Kiddush on behalf of Shimon, he's also reciting Kiddush on behalf of himself, because really he was Chayiv to begin with. But the Ritva in his commentary in Rosh Hashanah, Chav Tesem and Aleph, takes a different approach, suggests a different option in explaining the mechanism of Arvos. And he says something that's very striking. He explains that Kol Yisrael is Keguf Echad. All of Kol Yisrael is considered like one person. And that's why Reuven can say a bracha on behalf of Shimon even after Reuven has already fulfilled his mitzvah. So what's the Ritva trying to say here? It seems that the Ritva is not trying to say what we said before, like we said in the name of the Ran, that as long as Shimon has not fulfilled his mitzvah of Kiddush, so that Reuven is really chayiv in Kiddush himself. That's not what the Ritva is saying. After all, if Reuven said Kiddush, so then he fulfilled his chiyuv of Kiddush. What the Ritva is explaining is that there exists a certain link, a certain connection between Reuven and Shimon, such that Reuven can do mitzvos on behalf of Shimon, even though Reuven doesn't have any chiyuv for his own self. He already took care of his own docket of mitzvos. But Shimon still has an outlined chiyuv. And the principle of Kol Yisrael Arivim Zeh Lazeh that says that Kol Yisrael is kiguf echad establishes that each member of Klal Yisrael is linked to the other, such that Reuven is really like a part of Shimon. And since Reuven is a part of Shimon, so therefore he can do mitzvos on his behalf. But if that's the case, then when Reuven says Kiddush on behalf of Shimon, he's not saying Kiddush on behalf of himself, because really he's chayv. He's saying Kiddush on behalf of Shimon. He's just doing something for Shimon, and what allows him to do that is his link that connects him to Shimon from the fact that Kol Yisrael is kiguf echad. So what emerges from these two different approaches is two different ways of viewing the case of Yatza Mozi. So again, our case is Kiddush on Shabbos. You have Reuven, who is already Yotze, his chiyuv of Kiddush on Shabbos, and then you have Shimon, who needs to be Yotze, his chiyuv of Kiddush. And Shimon comes to Reuven, and he says, Reuven, say Kiddush for me. And so the halacha says that would be okay. Reuven could say Kiddush on behalf of Shimon. So why is that? So according to the Ran, it's because really Reuven is chayiv in Kiddush himself. Even though Reuven already said Kiddush, since Shimon has not said Kiddush, so therefore it's as if Reuven's chiyuv still exists. And therefore he's considered a bar chiyuva and can say Kiddush on Shimon's behalf. But according to the Ritva, once Reuven said Kiddush, so then he's pater. He already did his mitzvah. So what allows him to say Kiddush on behalf of Shimon? What allows him to say Kiddush is the fact that they're kiguf echad. They're like one person. So as long as Shimon hasn't said Kiddush, so then Reuven is a part of Shimon, and therefore it's as if Shimon is saying Kiddush when Reuven says it on his behalf. So these two different approaches really come to the fore in different areas of Nafkamina. For example, there's a question in the Achronim whether Shimon would have to respond amen to Reuven's Kiddush in order to be Yotze. Should Shimon respond amen to Reuven's bracha? When Reuven says Kiddush on behalf of Shimon, should Shimon say amen? So the Prima Gaudin says that Shimon should not say amen in this case. Why? Or not that he shouldn't say amen, but that he doesn't need to. Doesn't need to say amen. Rather, he could just listen to Reuven's bracha. Why? Because it explains to the Prima Gaudin that the principle of Yatza Motzi assumes that it's ki'ilu that Reuven is mechuyav in the bracha. It's ki'ilu Reuven is chayiv to say Kiddush. So if Reuven is chayiv to say Kiddush, so then we can just rely on the simple mechanism of Shomea Ka'ona. Reuven is a bar chiyuva, Shimon's a bar chiyuva. Reuven says Kiddush, Shimon listens, and we're all good. Shimon doesn't have to respond amen to Reuven's Kiddush. But Rabbi Kiva Eger explains that Shimon would have to respond amen to Reuven's Kiddush. And why is that the case? Because Rabbi Kiva Eger explains that really Reuven is not mechuyov in Kiddush. There's no chiyuv for Reuven to say Kiddush. After all, Reuven already said Kiddush. The only reason why Reuven is even saying Kiddush in the first place here is because he's allowed to do mitzvos on behalf of Shimon. But since Reuven is not mechuyov bedavar, so therefore Shimon's going to have to respond amen so that bracha counts on his behalf. So it seems like the Prima Gaudim and Rabbi Kiva Eger are really arguing based on the two approaches from the Rishonim that we put forth just a minute ago. The Prima Gaudim is explaining, like the Ran, that if Shimon still has to say Kiddush, then it's as if Reuven still has to say Kiddush. So then Reuven is mechuyev bedavar. Once he's mechuyev bedavar, then Shimon doesn't have to say amen. He just reminds Shimon ka'una. But Rabbi Akiva Eger is assuming, like the Ritva, that Reuven is not mechuyev bedavar just because Shimon hasn't said Kiddush. Rather, there's a chiddush of arvos of yatza motzi that even though Reuven doesn't have a chiyuv, nonetheless he can do actions on behalf of Shimon. But if that's the case, then in order for Shimon to be yotze, he's going to have to say amin, because he's not hearing a bracha from a bar chiyuva. Another possible nafkamina would be in yani diyoma. So the following question. Let's say you have someone who is already yotze his chiyuv of tekiyah shofar, and then he goes and blows shofar for others. So should he say the bracha of shechiyanu when he blows shofar for other people who haven't yet heard shofar? So the Beis Yosef says, based on the Yukim from the Rambam, that the Baal Tekiyah in this case should not say shechiyanu. So why would that be the case? Why wouldn't he say shachianu? So we might explain that that's because of the mechayev of shachianu is a personal experience, and in this case, where the Baal Tokea already was yotze his chiyuv of tkiyah shofar, so he doesn't have like a personal experience of the mitzvah of shofar. After all, he already fulfilled that mitzvah, so therefore he's not going to recite the bracha of shachianu, which is dependent upon a personal experience. But there would be two paths to disagree with this assumption. The first one would be to say that Arvos creates a new chiyuv, meaning to say that even though the Baal Tokea already heard shofar, so when he blows shofar for other people, since those other people haven't heard shofar, so it's as if he's chayiv in shofar himself. And once he's chayiv in shofar himself, so then he's chayiv in everything that comes along with that mitzvah. So since shachiyanu comes along with the mitzvah, so therefore he should have to say shachiyanu. So that approach is what seems to be the case in the Pri Chadash. But we might also explain that even if the Baal Tokeya is not considered chayav in the mitzvah of shofar, after all, he already did the mitzvah of shofar. Nonetheless, based on the svar of the Ritva, that Kol Yisrael is kiguf echad damya, so then maybe when he blows shofar for other people, it is still considered like a personal experience, because there's a connection and a link between the Baal Tokeya and all of the other people who are listening to the shofar, such that it's like a guf echad listening to shofar. So once that's the case, and it's like a personal experience out of that, and if it's a personal experience, then the Baal Tokeya could say Shachiyanu as well. So I want to end off on one point of Machshava. So my Rebbe of Rosenzweig likes to explain that both of the perspectives of the Ran and the Ritva bespeak the inspirational integration and unity of Klal Yisrael. For the Ran, the Chiddush of Yatzah Motzi is that Reuven's Chiyuv or Shimon's Chiyuv becomes Reuven's Chiyuv, even though Reuven already fulfilled his personal Chiyuv. Because Shimon's Chiyuv is still outstanding, that reinvigorates Reuven's Chiyuv. And that's to say that we accept upon ourselves the predicaments of others, so much so to the extent of the degree that they become our very own. The predicament of Shimon becomes the predicament of Reuven. That's the Chiddush of the Ran. For the Ritva, the Chiddush is that even though Reuven's Chiyuv is not Shimon's, meaning each person has his own set of Chiyuv, but nonetheless, we can act on behalf of others, even though we don't have the same thing. Nonetheless, we can step in the place of others and still do what's necessary for them. So from these two perspectives, from the Ram and the Ritva, we see really just the extent, the breadth of the unity of Klal Yisrael. And it's in this vein that this unity should carry us during this time of the year of Tshuva Berabim and the Hamlachas HaKadosh Baruch Hu that we're going to do on Rosh Hashanah, that we do that as a klal of Kol Yisrael Arivim Zelozeh, in the Ritva's words, of Kol Yisrael Kibbuth Echad Danya. Wish everyone a great rest of the week.